Hello and hi, welcome to another Slice of Sci-Fi. I'm Summer Brooks, and as we all know, I am a fan of the shark movies, just because it was the first monster movie I ever encountered, and there's something visceral and primal about, hey, we're tiny people in a big ocean, and there's many things that will eat us and not care. Sharks are one of those. And we're here to talk today about a new movie, The Reef, Stalked, written and directed by our guest, Andrew Trauke. Hello, sir.
Hi, Summer. How are you doing?
Pretty good, pretty good. Now, you wrote and directed this, and It incorporates some lovely Australian vistas. Mm-hmm. What was the inspiration for getting the story written?
Yeah, thanks for asking. I've made the original Reef almost 10 years, or 11 years ago, and that was quite successful. And so people would constantly come to me with a shark idea, but most of them were just sort of shark exploitation type films, which I wasn't that interested in. I wanted to do something different. And then one night I was at the theater and I saw this play called Lethal Indifference, which is all about domestic violence. And it really stuck with me. And at the same time, I'm a surfer and I go surfing, and I know that surfers call sharks the man in the gray suit. And those two ideas came together, and I kind of thought, well, I can maybe make a shark thriller survival movie that also has a sort of allegory element about, you know, domestic violence and trauma and all those sorts of things. And that really intrigued me, because I've always wanted to do more a slightly more elevated film, or, you know, it's a film that's got some meaning as well as a great ride. And so, I just thought that was something that interested me, and I could do a shark movie that was a bit new and different. And so I went out and wrote it.
How long did it take to get it to the point where you were happy putting it into production?
Yeah, that's a good question too. So my process is one where I pretty well, you know, once I've got the idea, which is always the hardest bit, it takes me about 3 or 4 months to knock out a first draft, but then it takes another 8 months or so to polish and get it to a point where I'm happy to show it. So, and you know, that's not necessarily full-time writing, but so I guess on and off it took about a year to get the script right.
Is there anything different from your original idea to what we see on the film? Because we have four very different women, and one of them is involved with a complete a-hole. And our shark, I'm trying to figure out how to phrase this, our shark ends up being the catalyst for the most traumatized woman in our group to sort of get past the damage done to her by her sister's abuser.
That's correct. That's well. Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out, how is shark therapy going to work? But okay, we'll go there.
Yeah. Well, I guess it's face your fears, isn't it? That's kind of what it's all about.
Mm. Yeah. The shark attack footage was very well done. How was that combined, practical or digital, or how was how was that filmed?
They're real sharks, and then we use movie magic to make it all happen, but they're actual real sharks, so there's no CGI, and you know, it's we went out and got that footage
because that shark seemed very, very rude. Gonna say that. Where did you look for your cast? Because your four primary leads, they had to be good swimmers, I'm guessing. And I'm always curious to hear about the physical side of auditioning. Okay, you're going to be swimming for like 8 days in a row, so we got to see how well you can swim.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, we certainly needed people that weren't scared of the water. And also, interestingly enough, there's a big difference between just being a good swimmer and actually wanting to stick your head under the water and go diving. I discovered on this film that that sticking your head underwater can freak people out. Like, to me, obviously you've got to hold your breath and all that, but to me, it's never been a big deal, but there are people that really don't like sticking their head under the water. So it was really important that we had, actors that could, were very comfortable in the water and were happy to fall out of kayaks and do a little bit of rough and tumble. And that was the physical part of it. But then obviously what we were really looking for were wonderful actors who could convey the feelings and emotions that these characters go through. And I was very lucky that we found Teresa, and her being Nick, the central character, we then built the rest of the ensemble around her.
Cool. I'm going to say the dedication that they had to sell the fear, and there's an element of fearlessness at the start.
Yeah.
And then when I think it's Emmy is the only one who's actually seen the fin, and the others are kind of sort of hesitant, going, did she really see it? Is she just panicking?
Yeah.
Is this, you know, what is this? And then everybody realizes, oh yeah, that's a shark. And shenanigans ensue. That's all I'm going to say, because there is a process to what these ladies go through in trying to get to safety or overcome the shark or both. And the transition from fearless to, oh shit, what's going on, was for me very, very believable. Were you giving them any guidance on what to feel? Because a lot of people think, oh, a shark is about to bite me, and they have different levels of thought.
Sure. Well, these women's journey, like the majority of them, not Annie because she's the sort of couch potato, but the rest of them are divers. And so when they see a shark fin, you know, if you've got experience in the water, you know that a shark fin is a shark fin, but is it danger? It's a danger only if it's a big, hungry shark that likes humans. And there are not too many of those around. So when they first see that shark fin, it's really like, well, it could just be a reef shark. And because they've got that experience, they're wondering what they should do about that. But then it is a shark, so there is an implicit danger. So, yeah, they go from that sort of, like you say, confidence and going, well, you know, it's just a reefy, to, you know, being plunged into total terror. And to get that across was really, a matter of a lot of talk with the actors. And we did a lot of, we did 4 days rehearsing on set in the kayaks, in the water, getting used to the physicality of it all. A lot of conversations during pre-production about what people would do in that sort of situation. And then, on the day, just trying to make sure it felt real.
Now, Australia does have its share of issues with great whites. Was there any thought on your part of how big to make the shark? Because if you make it one of those monstrous ones, it becomes kind of a joke, a kind of a trope.
Yeah.
But this one isn't too big, but it's still a people eater.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, Summer. If you go for everything's bigger and bigger and bigger, you get to a point where it's just like totally unbelievable. So I was going for believability, and it seems that a 15-foot shark is a pretty, you know, fierce piece of animal. So that's kind of in my brain. I was always referring to it about 15 foot.
Cool. Now, were there any, I'm going to say humorous moments out on the water? Because I'm a fan of outtakes and gag reels.
Sure. Well, I'm not sure it was humorous, although in retrospect it was. Well, there was a time we had to keep on walking out because the tide was, you know, we had to follow the tide, and we were out quite away on the sandbank, and the water was coming in, and we kind of got the timing wrong. So by the time we started walking back to the shore, the water had come in too much, and all of a sudden we were up to our necks in water. And, you know, the cameraman and the camera guys, the team, were all holding these very expensive cameras above their heads, and everyone was starting to get, you know, to the point where they couldn't touch bottom. And it got very desperate, and finally we got some boats out and got all the gear on board just before we all had to swim into the shore. So it was a bit of a nasty moment, but on retrospect, it's kind of funny seeing everybody swim to the shore.
Well, there's something you don't expect the continuity director to have to do.
No. And we did have a shark on set one day. We were luckily not in the water; we were on the beach. But And it was only a small shark, it was only 4 or 5 foot, but it swam by and we saw its fin and we was, oh yeah, there's sharks out there.
The underwater photography in this is absolutely gorgeous. How did you select the actual reefs to be shot, and what were you using to actually shoot them?
Yeah, I don't know the full, like, we use an array of cameras, and you know, everything from a GoPro right through to a very professional camera, which I don't know the name, I'm sorry. But yeah, we really were trying to get a feel that was, you know, tropical and water clarity, but not too clear, because then it's more interesting if it's not too clear. So that was kind of what guided us to shoot that stuff the way we shot it. And also, obviously, the water had to be warm so that the divers didn't freeze.
Did that concern affect when you would be able to shoot the film?
Yeah, it did actually. It affected the location, because we were up in far north Queensland, because it was the middle of winter and we couldn't have shot it down where I live at that time of year, because it's, the water's only, you know, it's very cold. So yeah, the location was definitely picked for one of the reasons was the water temperature.
So do you think it'll take another 10 years to make another sequel?
Well, not if someone gets me a good script before then. It's all about the script, Summer. So, you know, if a good script passes my desk, hopefully not, but who knows? It's it seems that most people writing in this space go for the B-grade approach rather than anything else. So it's hard to find, I find, anyway, it's hard to find a good shark script.
Oh, well, maybe we can nudge some of our fans to say, hey, you know, yeah, anybody that's got a compelling, good shark script, yeah, that isn't tropey. So we'll see, yeah, about that. Are you working on anything else right now?
Yeah. I've got this great, what I call a black comedy called Melodica Vampire Slayer, which is sort of like Spinal Tap meets Dracula, which I think would be very, very funny. It's about this air band, you know, this heavy metal band that's on its last legs, who get lured to this town unbeknownst to them. There's a bunch of vampires there that need to feed, and of course they discover the magic cord that kills these things. But it's very funny, and everyone reads the scripts, loves it. It's just a matter of getting the right talent attached.
Oh, that's hilarious. It's like, okay, what's the next too old to go on tour hair band that we can pull, yeah, out of circulation?
Yeah, exactly.
That's great. So the movie is The Reef Stalked. It will be available in theaters and on demand and digital and streaming on Shudder on July 29th. If you're a fan of shark movies with a different sort of edge, go check it out. Andrew, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Summer. I appreciate it.
And we'll be back with more Slices of Sci-Fi right after this.
Slice of Sci-Fi.
Escape Pod is your destination for the best in modern short science fiction. Our intrepid crew of editors and hosts will bring you fun, thought-provoking, in-flight entertainment every week as the pod careens around the multiverse. In the mood for a classic, we've got Anson Mount, also known as Captain Christopher Pike, reading Theodore Sturgeon. Want something a little more up-to-date? Jennifer R. Donahue's Surveillance Fatigue has you covered in every sense. From classic space opera to intimate character drama, from heroic alien pets waiting for their families, to herds of literal Einsteins and the benevolent conspiracy they're hatching. Escape Pod has it all at escapepod.org. So buckle up, because it's story time.
Hi, this is Barbara Crampton, and you're listening to Slice of Sci-Fi. Ooh, scary.
And once again, the movie is The Reef Stalked. It'll be available on Shudder and various other platforms on July 29th. So if you're a fan of shark movies, check this one out. It's a little slow in areas, but the fear, the terror of the one character who is suffering from PTSD from what she went through beforehand, Nick is her name, the emotional roller coaster she goes through, dealing with her fear of her newly found fear of water, her desire to stay safe at all costs, come into play into having to deal with the threat to her, her sister, her friends in this particular scenario. How about you? Are you looking for anything special in a shark movie? Are you? Let me know. Feel free to call in. Leave a voicemail. The number is 602-635-6976 or shoot me an email, summer@sliceofscifi.com. You can listen to Slice of Sci-Fi on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, TuneIn, Player FM, and iHeartRadio. And if you're listening on Apple or Stitcher or Podchaser, feel free to leave us a review or a rating over there. You can follow us on Twitter at Slice of Sci-Fi. I will respond. At Slice of Sci-Fi TV is back up and running. Not tweeting as much over there yet, but we have plans. I'm not a Cylon, but I have a plan. And you can help support Slice of Sci-Fi and all of the podcasts and websites in the Slice of Sci-Fi universe. The best place to do that is Patreon, patreon.com/sliceofscifi. If you go there and sign up, you will be eligible for perks. Every month, I pick a winner out of the hat, and that person gets to choose from a book, a DVD, a Blu-ray, a 4K, anything from the items that I am sent to review for Slice of Sci-Fi, for Writers After Dark. And I just don't have the space right now to keep all of it. So you guys get some goodies. And rather than worrying about perks every month, if you'd rather just donate every now and then, the links to use are Ko-fi, ko-fi.com/sliceofscifi, or paypal.me/scifisummer. All of the pledges and donations do help keep everything here online. That's sliceofscifi.com, sliceofscifi.tv, writersafterdark.com, babylonpodcast.com, even charliejade.net. And the relatively new and still growing sliceofscifi.net, which is where you can purchase items that are curated from the folks here. And those are affiliate links that also help support efforts here. So thank you very much for your support. It is greatly appreciated and needed. But that will do it for this episode. Thank you all for listening. We'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi next week. Take care.